Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're welcome along. It is a Wednesday evening here in Off the Ball. Joe Molloy with you between now and 10 o'clock. Jack Byrne will talk to us just after 9 o'clock. We recorded this chat earlier, loads of good stuff in it. We have Zlatan in Tala, we have training with Carlos Tevez at 15 years of age, we have heading along to Old Trafford to watch Paul Scholes do his stuff. That is on the way between 9 and 10. Wednesday night rugby as well, then Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor with us after 8 o'clock. It is Irish Open golf this week. Stephanie Meadow will give us the rundown on the course. And The Guardian's Jeremy Whittle is with us this hour. Obviously, Sam Bennett has garnered most of the attention here. But, says Jeremy Whittle, there are broader concerns about what we're seeing on the tour in 2020. 53106 is the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack, hello.
Joe, I'd imagine that conversation is going to centre a lot around the subject of ketones, because they came up a lot during the course of this year's Tour de France. Primoz Roglic, who led the Tour for so long, I think his team at Jumbo-Visma had pretty much admitted that they were using them. Now, they're not illegal, but the uses of them, you could say, could be questioned.
Go on.
So there you go. Well, they aid recovery after long and endurance kind of sports, and especially after stages in the mountains, they might come in handy. They've propped up before in different sports, I think in swimming in particular, and they have definitely raised their head on the tour over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. But it was just very strange to see a team being so open about the use of them during the course of the race itself.
And if they're not illegal, why are they controversial? Are they destined to be illegal?
It seems so. They're spoken about in that way that you can't figure that they will be allowed to be continue to be legal for that much longer. Like, especially if you use the term, like, it falls into that grey area. Like, they clearly have an effect and they clearly have a positive effect, and it's whether the use of them is actually ethical or not, especially for reasons that they're not needed for. It's like people, you only see the over-prescription of, say, asthma inhalers among certain sports people who might necessarily need them. Mm-hmm. It's a similar thing. These are essentially a dietary supplement that help you recover in an endurance capacity. So they're not being used the reason that they were originally intended, and they're having a positive effect on the performance of others. So you kind of figure that that might fall into an area that's going to be looked at.
Okay, I'll certainly put it to Jeremy Whittle. I know in his piece in The Guardian, he was concerned that there are too many murky characters from the past still in very powerful positions and still running things, not least when it comes to today, Pogacar's win, you know, his team being an example. So he's on the way at 7:30 or so, and then Rory and Keith after 8. Jack Byrne on the way. We recorded this earlier on. Like I said, lots of good stuff in it. Zlatan in Tala will come up. And then, I mean, I would think you would do well to beat Jack Byrne for name dropping. You know, not that he does it. I mean, it comes up quite naturally. I just mean the armory he has. So at one point, you know, he mentioned when Carlos Tevez was dumped out of the team by Mancini, 15-year-old Jack Byrne got to train every day with Carlos Tevez for 9 months. That's kind of a cool thing. You forget the quality he's worked alongside. So he's on the way between 9 and 10, still very hopeful of getting back into the Irish team. And then Stephanie Meadow will join us, the Irish Open this week. Obviously, low-key. For obvious reasons, but Shane Lowry's there and Padraig Harrington's there. Ronan Mullen, hello.
How are things, Joe?
Very well. First time we've spoken this week. What's grabbing you? What's going on in your world?
Well, just as of today, Joe, I don't know if it's in Richie's news round, it probably hasn't made the cut, but have you seen the story with Tyrod Taylor, the Los Angeles Chargers quarterback?
Oh, I think there was a medical issue.
So basically, they drafted Justin Herbert in the latest NFL draft, and he's like the next hot shot, the next big thing tailor-made for this glitzy Los Angeles market. And instead, the coach decided to go with the tried and tested Tyrod Taylor, who's like, he used to play for the Ravens, so I'd be quite familiar with him, but he never hit any real heady heights. He never really nailed down a starting job, but he's a safer pair of hands on paper, so that's why they started the season with him. But in week two, at the very, like, very last minute, literally as the teams were making their way onto the field, it was announced that Justin Herbert would be starting the game because Tyrod Taylor had developed an issue with a painkilling injection that was handed out just before the game. So basically, to cut a long story short, the team doctor punctured his lung while he was administering this this painkilling injection to his chest. And that is the story that was being kept under wraps for the last couple of days. Adam Schefter was the one who broke the story today. But apparently it's not, just because it's a quarterback, it's really hit the headlines. But apparently this is not an irregular thing. This is part of the risk of getting injections of that nature in that part of your body, that that is an element, and it is sort of flagged up beforehand. But it's kind of the talk of the American sports fair at the moment.
I'm sure it is. I've never had a punctured lung. No fun, I'm told.
I wouldn't imagine so. Ro, I thought you were going to lead off with that NBA coverage you tweeted earlier on, whereby the lad stepped into the court in his analysis of the game. Like, it's just insane. It's this new hologram, I guess, kind of footage or kind of green screen stuff that they're using, Joe, whereby he walked behind the screen on which he is analysing the game, which just looks like a big, on you know, TV studio, massive screen that you might have there in Virgin Media. Yeah. But he reappears in the court at a proper angle as if he was actually among the 10 players that are playing. It is the most bizarre I've ever...
Sorry, you just cut out there. So you've explained that to me, sort of. I'm imagining the court and there's 10 players in the court. He pops up then somewhere?
Yeah, he pops up as if he's like among them. It's not like he's like standing at a weird angle and looks odd to them. It looks like he has been on the court the whole time with them, but he's there in his suit, angling, looking like where he's going to pivot and take the ball and all this kind of stuff. It is like just the most, like, I remember watching a couple of years ago at the Euros in France, they had people, and they've repeated this in different studios since, I think US Open they did it, whereby somebody appears in studio as if they're there, where in actual fact they're in the tunnel in the stadium. But this is like next level stuff because it's taking angles on board and your man's in the court and it's moving about. I'm just imagining, as Ro did earlier on, Kenny Cunningham living in that kind of world. That would be rather beautiful.
Can we give Kenny Cunningham a break? He's having a rough few days. I hadn't realized this. So look, I saw the clip, and then my antennae were obviously dulled to Liverpool fan sensitivities around the world. But I saw the clip. A few issues with Thiago defensively. Like, emphasized Thiago's a really good technician. And it would seem, Ronan, I only really realized this today, that all hell has broken loose. Kenny Cunningham better not check Twitter anytime soon.
No, and again, like most things, it's hard to establish context when people are only willing to look at the headline or listen to a couple of seconds. But what
you wrote,
saying
the headline. Well, it's your fault.
I picked the headline. I think what you'll find is he was saying that in the system Liverpool currently play as a number six, like, which is more of a defensive responsibility in the way they're shaped up at the moment, he would be inferior to Jordan Henderson and Fabinho at snuffing out danger in that area.
Yeah.
But in the broader scheme of things, he was, to your point, saying, like, he's a brilliant passer. You don't play for Bayern Munich and Barcelona without that. And, you know, his quality speaks for itself. But it was strictly as a defensive midfielder in the holding, breaking up play role, rather than what presumably Klopp wants to do, which is develop Liverpool into a more of a possession team, not that they're not already, but more possession in the middle of the field rather than trying to establish creativity in wide areas. But, I was a bit overtaken by the whole thing as well. I think, like, if Liverpool are so happy with Thiago as a signing, they don't need Kenny Cunningham's reinforcement of it. Do you know what I mean? They should be satisfied enough that that he's in the door. And it is actually a brilliant signing, like £20 million up front.
Yeah.
Even if it does turn out to be another Deco to Chelsea type deal, I think it's definitely worth a punt.
But Twitter lost its mind, it seems. I hadn't fully appreciated this. Although
I feel
it's especially hellish at the moment. I mean, lockdown. I think there's a tinge of insanity even from, you know, people who wouldn't normally be in that bracket. There's just it's on edge. Not surprisingly,
there's no room for nuance on any subject.
Well, no, that's
people literally are like, but people aren't willing to delve into, like as Ronan says, they're beyond the headline or, you know, look into the story even further. They view what's put in front of them and they have a binary response one way or the other, and that's positive or negative towards what's presented in front of them. And there's no in between. There's no subtlety about it. There's no nuance, as I say. It's just hellish.
Yeah, I think there's just a huge amount of frustration out there as well, and one-upmanship gives you a brief sense of control, and, you know, and things aren't so bad, and it's addictive and it's horrible, and there is nothing more boring than a conversation about the ills of social media. So let's move on. We've got our news round, got a really nice show this evening. News round is brought to you with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made it what matters. So the Irish Open, Richie, that's where you're reluctantly starting, but you're...
Yeah, you say there's nothing worse than talking about the ills of social media or championship structures, but indeed golf is where we begin now. Shane Lowry says he owes it to the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open to play this week. The 2009 champion has returned from the US to play the rearranged tournament at Galgarum Castle, and he plays alongside George Coetzee and Lucas Herbert tomorrow. And even in a COVID world, Larry says there was no doubt that he would play this week.
And we just kind of waited and see, and like everything, it's kind of, you know, you don't really make plans too much down the road with the way things are in the world at the minute. So you know, when this venue and this date came up, I felt like you know, I wanted to come play because I feel like I owe it to the Irish Open. I feel like I Not always. It's maybe a weird word or not a great word to use, but I owe it to them and the tour and just to support the event and, you know, to come here and try and give it my best shot to come out and win it again. That's the reason I'm here this week. And I just kind of, you know, I don't think there'll ever be a time, you know, that I won't play in the Irish Open. And that's kind of what I've shown this week. And that's just how I feel about the event.
No, fair play to him, because he's been away from his family for a long time. He's been over in the States basically for months on end at this stage, probably hasn't seen lots of his family in a long time, and he's extending all that by another week to play. And without him or Harrington this week, the tournament really wouldn't have much going on. By all accounts, the course will be taken apart by these guys. Stephanie Meadow is very familiar with it. She's going to join us later on, give us the rundown. Where are we going next, Richie? Pro 14?
Yeah, plenty of news about it today. The Pro 14 confirming the talks are underway to expand the footprint in South Africa. A South African team will replace the now defunct Southern Kings in 2021, joining the Cheetahs in the league. But the number of South African teams in the Pro 14 itself could be swelled by their Super Rugby contingent beyond this coming season. Meanwhile, Leinster will begin their Pro 14 defence with the visit of Dragons to the RDS on Friday, October 2nd. Fixtures for the new season were released this afternoon. And on the same night as Leinster, Ulster will entertain Benetton. The following day, we'll see Munster go to Scarlets and Connacht play host to Glasgow Warriors. And Monday night games have been introduced for the first time. Monday night rugby, where did they get that idea from? And Munster will be the first province dipping their toe into that water. There'll be a home to Cardiff at Thomond Park on October the 26th.
Okay, very good. Rory O'Connor, Keith Wood on the way after 8 o'clock. Gary Rogers then.
Yeah, jump up and down if you love the town, Joe. Dundalk goalkeeper Gary Rogers says they're aiming to reach the group stages of the Europa League this season. The Lilywhites are away to the Moldovan champions Sheriff in the penultimate round of the qualifiers tomorrow. Dundalk have won their last three games in all competitions, and the goalkeeper is hoping that they can extend that run.
It's been good to kind of get a little bit of a run going. Difficult win last week away in Andorra, where we had a man sent off for, we had to play without Andy Boyle for 30 minutes, but we got the job done. So we're going into this in good form, and we look, it's a difficult tie. Every game in Europe is hard, and we're hopeful that you know, we can put a good performance together and get the right result.
Well, Ronan, what do your waters tell you about this game?
It's funny, like after the Champions League game where they lost 3-0, but that result probably wasn't a reflection of how they played that day. I thought they were slightly better than that, but it did seem like it was all doom and gloom, given that Rovers have sort of established an unassailable lead in the league. Dundalk were never really in it this season. Then the whole Vinnie Peart departure and all the way with that, the replacement not so heralded, I should say. But like, this is a very achievable pathway to European group stages for Dundalk. You know, like last season or last week's was a very favourable draw. Tomorrow's is a very winnable tie. So all of a sudden they could get themselves back on the right track. And Jack Byrne was also speaking about how European football favours League of Ireland players in a way it probably hadn't in the past, where there's a lot of technical players both in the Rovers team and especially in this more new look Dundalk team, where there are a lot of technicians in the team. And if you've seen the pitch that they're going to be playing on, this is like pristine, top-end sort of surface. And you know, I think they'll be able to prove a point tomorrow, whatever, but like going far in a Stephen Kenny-esque way into the group stages, that might be a bit of a reach. You just never know. But I think they'll want to sort of set the record straight on what has been an underwhelming season, I think, by their high standards.
It sure has. Baz says, football fans in reactionary response, shocker. If Kenny had said Florence Cinema upon goal was no Maradona, they'd be calling for his head on a plate as well. I know it's true. I think increasingly as we've, you know, with social media, YouTube, the way we can be watched, beyond our shores now very, very easily. I mean, you've kind of been exposed. There is a vitriol when it comes to football, which is just kind of staggering. Kind of seen it a lot at first hand over the last year or two. It's
but not real.
Not good.
But not real. Like, if you're just like, there's no way that those actions will be realized in person, or those opinions will be presented so vociferously in person.
Oh no, of course not. But I do agree with this notion that because it's online, it's not real. Like, the online world is real. You know.
No, I very much accept that, but it's not a sense that these people would act like that in the real world. It's like there's this dissociative state that they go into once they have a phone in their paw.
Sure. But it doesn't mean it's not happening. It's horrific. You know, I don't know what the answer is. Ron.
No, even the nature of football fandom, I think, has changed a little bit. I don't know if this is a new age thing, but the obsession with transfers has just gone up another few gears. Yeah. It's insane. It's as if, like, the actual product on the field is secondary at this point. It's all about pulling together Football Manager-esque dream teams. Like, any tweet that, like, this whole hashtag announced such and such, but whenever a new player joins the club, all the responses will be, sign this player, sign that player. It's not welcome to the club or anything like that. I just think there has been a bit of a change
shift,
in that regard.
Yeah, I think that it's almost like it's part of the storyline, it's part of the drama. I think increasingly lots of football fans don't watch the full 90 minutes and may even just watch the goal. You know, Sky Sports throw up the goals now on YouTube, you can just see the goals, but they might listen to lots of sports podcasts and follow it, you know, almost like a drama. Guys, when I was 13, says Gall of Mark and Dundrum, we won a Phelan Appel with Salt Hill. My mother made us a potion for halftime. We outscored every team, including a Jim Gavin-led Round Towers to win the title. To this day, I don't know what she put in the drink. Love the show. I listen to it when I get my only outing from the house every day, says Gall of Mark in Dundrum, who has turned whistleblower. So it would seem that Salt Hill, Phelan Appel against a Jim Gavin-led Round Towers were up to their gills in ketones.
There's an asterisk beside that win in Phelan Appel in Salt Hill when he was
get Jim Gavin on the phone. We need to get stuck into this. Right, where are we going?
Here's your half seven, Joe.
Yeah.
Arsenal have returned no positive coronavirus results in their latest round of testing. There had been concerns that some of their players and coaching staff may have contracted COVID-19 during their Premier League game against West Ham on Saturday. We know there was that rather unique situation last night where West Ham manager David Moyes and Republic of Ireland midfielder Josh Cullen, as well as ECD Up, are all forcing to self-isolate after testing positive just prior to their Carabao Cup tie with Hull City. Arsenal are in Carabao Cup third round action tonight. They're away to Leicester City. Four games are just underway. There was a first start for Troy Parrott at Millwall as they play host to a Burnley side containing Jimmy Dunn. Fulham got underway at 7 as well at home to Sheffield Wednesday and lead through an Abubakar Kamara goal to nil. Scoreless elsewhere between Preston and Brighton. And Michael O'Neill's Stoke City are up against Gillingham. James McLean and Nathan Collins are both in the Stokes lineup tonight. Thiago Silva starts for Chelsea at home to Barnsley. Joey Barton and his Fleetwood team welcome Everton. Newcastle in the other game are away to the League Two side Morecambe.
Thiago Silva's comments about not joining the Premier League before now? He said, I just had an impression that it was all long ball football. Like, the comments read as if he thought Nat Lofthouse was still mixing it as a number nine in the Premier League. I think things have moved on a bit.
He's not watched the Champions League.
Huh?
Does he not watch the Champions League even?
I know, like, some of the best football in Europe is now played in England, but he's got his chance, belated though it may be, he's got his chance to mix it in England, but you know, he's definitely going to bring a bit of stability to that back four that had been lacking, was very much evidenced against Liverpool. But beyond that, I'm not sure. Athletically, he has a whole lot left in the tank.
He didn't look 36 in the Champions League final. I think he's 36. He didn't look it on the Champions League final. I was actually really impressed by him and thought there was
I did love his nefarious little... remember when Robert Lewandowski was running through and he just sort of... very professional foul. He knew he was beaten for pace and... that's the kind of shrewd business he's going to bring to the Chelsea dressing room. He's going to teach these Tamuris and the likes how to do that kind of stuff.
Shrewd business. OTB Sports, big announcement, partnership with Cadbury FC. We've been doing these in-depth chats, remote roadshows, I guess, is what they are ultimately in these strange times, with some of the biggest names in football of late. So we have already spoken to Shay Given and Paddy Bonner. Last week, Ian Wright and Sol Campbell were in very good form. That is waiting for you. And now we can announce the third episode. Manchester United fans, you'll enjoy this. We have Gary Neville and Teddy Sheringham for a feature-length interview. So Gary Neville, Teddy Sheringham coming your way. It will be brought to you on OTB's social channels and OTB Sports Radio on Monday, the 5th of October. And you can check out CadburyFC.com for updates on promotions and giveaways. So, G Neville, Teddy Sheringham, coming your way in the next couple of weeks. We're looking forward to that. Richie, where are we going?
Joe, the third episode cadence that you gave us there was very Nate Dogg-esque. I enjoyed it. Ireland's women's coach Adam Griggs says it's brilliant to have flanker Claire Molloy back on the rest for the rest of the Six Nations. The former Irish captain will link up with the squad this week. It's getting to him slowly. Following a one-year sabbatical, forward trio Aoife McDermott, Idel McMahon and Claire McLaughlin will miss the matches against Italy and France, though, next month through injury. And Conor Glass is set to return home after calling time on his AFL career. The 22-year-old played 24 games for Hawthorne during his two-year stint in Australia. And he's now expected to link back up with the Derry senior football panel. It's a potential boost to Rory Gallagher's side, who will be seeking to secure promotion to Division 2 of the National Football League next month.
I'm trying to work out what you meant.
We said third episode, like next episode, as if it was the Dr. Dre featuring Nate Dogg and...
Just not on your level. I'm just not with you.
Just 20 years. There's no getting with it. It's getting back to it.
Okay. Right, well, that's, look,
hold up.
It's a difficult moment for everyone. We're just going to have to push past it like it never happened. Where are we going?
You can't ignore hip-hop like this, Joe. It's here to stay. Wolves have signed right-back Nelson Semedo from Barcelona for a reported €35 million. The Portuguese international signed a three-year deal at Molineux with an option to extend that until 2025. Semedo, who has earned 13 caps for Portugal, joins Wolves after three seasons at the Camp Nou, and he is the seventh client of Jorge Mendes to sign for the club.
Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? So they sell Matt Doherty for, what was it, 16, 17 in the end? And now they've brought in 50, a replacement, and paid €35 million. So we'll see if Nelson Semedo is an upgrade. Leeds then?
Yeah, they've reached an agreement in principle to sign Real Sociedad defender Diego Llorente. The La Liga club have announced on Twitter that the Spanish international will join the newly promoted Premier League side. They might need a defender judging by the last two games. Llorente started his career at Real Madrid and moved to Sociedad in 2017. Another man on the move, Waterford have confirmed that Michael O'Connor has joined the Scottish Premiership side Ross County. The striker only joined from Linfield last year and has scored three Premier Division goals in 11 games this term.
Okay, that is us done for the news around this evening. Ronan Mullen, thank you.
Cheers, Joe.
Richie McCormack, we will talk to you soon. Good luck.
Wes Saeed, Joe. Wes Saeed.
Well, indeed. Coming up next, Jeremy Whittle is going to talk to us. He's just back from covering the Tour de France.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.